By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alik wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabi Allah wa ala alik wa ashabika ya Nurullah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to our Rise and Shine. Today we're still celebrating Eid. It's the third day of Eid, so why not continue to celebrate? You know, Eid is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Eid is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the opportunity to celebrate and thank Allah Azza wa Jal for His bounties. And I think it's very important that we understand that, number one, it's a blessing. And number two, we learn to thank Allah Azza wa Jal in the correct way. You know, we've heard that in recent days that, you know, people are out, they're racing cars up and down the streets, they're causing havoc, you know, loud music and committing all sorts of sins as well. Ask yourself, is this a way to thank your Rabb? Is this a way to thank your Creator for the blessing that He has given to you on Eid? And that's something that we need to ponder off. And today, inshallah, we're going to continue with the same theme of that. Now that Ramadan is over, now what? Now what? What are we going to do? As you know, at the top of the program, the first package that we have in the program is the blessed opportunity to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. And today is no different. Today is a blessed day, the blessed day of Eid, the third day of Eid. So why not continue in this rich vein of listening to the Quran with the translation? And let's listen to some verses of the Quran with the translation. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rehm wala.
حميم والكتاب المبين إنا جعلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون.
روشن كتاب کی قسم ہم نے اسے عربی قرآن اتارا کہ تم سمجھو.
وإنه في الكتاب لدينا لعلي حكيم.
اور بے شک وہ اصل کتاب میں ہمارے پاس ضرور بلندی و حکمت والا ہے.
افنضرب عنكم الذكر صفحا ان كنتم قوما مسرفين.
تو کیا ہم تم سے ذکر کا پہلو پھیر دیں اس پر کہ تم لوگ حد سے بڑھنے والے ہو.
وَكَمْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِن نَبِيٍّ فِي الْأَوَّلِينَ.
اور ہم نے کتنے ہی غیب بتانے والے نبی اگلوں میں بھیجے.
وَمَا يَأْتِيهِم مِن نَبِيٍّ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ.
اور ان کے پاس جو غیب بتانے والا نبی آیا اس کی ہنسی ہی بنایا کیے.
فَأَهْلَكْنَا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ بَطْشًا وَمَضَى مَثَلُ الْأَوَّلِينَ.
تو ہم نے وہ ہلاک کر دیئے جو ان سے بھی پکڑ میں سخت تھے اور اگلوں کا حال گزر چکا ہے.
وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ.
اور اگر تم ان سے پوچھو کہ آسمان اور زمین کس نے بنائے تو ضرور کہیں گے انہیں بنایا اس عزت والے علم والے نے.
الذي جعل لكم الأرض مهدا وجعل لكم فيها سبلا لعلكم تهتدون.
جس نے تمہارے لیے زمین کو بچھونا کیا اور تمہارے لیے اس میں راستے کیے کہ تم راہ پاؤ.
والذي نزل من السماء ماء بقدر.
اور وہ جس نے آسمان سے پانی اتارا ایک اندازے سے.
فَأَنشَرْنَا بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا.
تو ہم نے اس سے ایک مردہ شہر زندہ فرما دیا.
كذلك تخرجون
یوں ہی تم نکالے جاؤ گے.
والذی خلق الازواج كلها وجعل لكم من الفلک والانعام ما تركبون
اور جس نے سب جوڑے بنائے اور تمہارے لیے کشتیوں اور چوپائیوں سے سواریاں بنائیں.
لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَى ظُهُورِهِ ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَتَقُولُوا سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ
کہ تم ان کی پیٹھوں پر ٹھیک بیٹھو, پھر اپنے رب کی نعمت یاد کرو, جب اس پر ٹھیک بیٹھ لو اور یوں کہو, پاکی ہے اسے جس نے اس سواری کو ہمارے بس میں کر دیا اور یہ ہمارے بوتے یعنی قابو کی نہ تھی.
وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ
اور بے شک ہمیں اپنے رب کی طرف پلٹنا ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ viewers of Madhya Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. We are celebrating the third day of Eid. And today we're still going to ponder the question, now what? Now what? Why? Now that the month of Ramadan has come, the month of Ramadan has gone, what are we going to do now? And we need to ask ourselves that why did Allah Azza wa Jal make fasting obligatory upon us during the month of Ramadan? And scholars have looked into this and they've cited many points of wisdom regarding this. And one of them is that by the virtue of fasting, by fasting, our nafs, our evil commanding soul, our ego, is rectified and it develops piety. As a human being, we have two enemies. Number one is shaitan, the open enemy. And the other one is our internal, our nafs, our ego, this part of ourselves that wants us to commit sins. And we are told that during Ramadan, shaitan is imprisoned. Shaitan is in prison. But we fast, the aim of fasting is to hold, you know, to weaken the hold of our nafs, to control our nafs. And despite hunger and thirsting, we do not eat. We abstain from the desires of the nafs, from sahri to aftari. This self-control weakens its influences and it rectifies. It enables you to be able to control your nafs. And therefore, it is apparent that focusing on reforming the nafs is one of the main objectives of Ramadan. Therefore, after Ramadan, we should continue. We should continue to strive and to struggle to control our nafs, to control the ego part of ourselves. So then not only are we controlling it, we're putting it under a leash effectively during the month of Ramadan, but after the month of Ramadan, we're able to control it as well. And inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit about that today, of how to control your nafs. What are the things that you need to do to be able to control it? To control that ego part of you, to control that part of you that wants to commit sins. You know, because what happens is when you want to commit a sin, then part of you wants to do it, but then there's part of you that's reluctant, part of you that knows it's wrong. And that is the part that we want to strengthen, and this is the part that we want to weaken. This part of you that says, no, it's okay, do it, so what? Nobody's looking, nobody's here, now you can do whatever you want. And that part of you that says, no, Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. So we need to be able to strengthen this and weaken this. And fasting weakens this, and fasting strengthens this. So again, inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit about that after the break, but we're going to go to the kalam of the day now. Inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue discussing how to control this so that we continue in this rich vein after the month of Ramadan as well. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa, 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 Mustafa. Ya Rasul Allah, Ya Rasul Allah, Mere lafzon mein shams o duha hai, Mere lehje mein badr o duja, Mash'ale midhate Mustafa ho, مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو ہر اندھیرے
مالکوں نے جب منگا
ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی عرض مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی عرض مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کے قدموں کی آہٹ بتا دوں
میرے لبوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جانے سخن ہے وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جانے سخن ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہیں کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہیں کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہیں پر لٹا دوں
میرے لبوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا لپٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے یا قضا کو پھر اپنی صدا دوں
میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
میری بخشش کا ساماں یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے میری بخشش کا ساماں یہی ہے میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر ان کی نعتیں انہیں کو سنا دوں
میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب پہ کرے اسوہِ مصطفیٰ میرے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب پہ کرے اسوہِ مصطفیٰ میں مسکراؤں اگر سنگ بر سے مسکراؤں اگر سنگ بر سے ہر برے کو بھلی سے دعا دوں
میرے لازوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باغے کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باغے اس کی چادر بنا کر بچھا دوں
میرے لازوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah viewers, I'm Manichan. We had the blessed opportunity to listen to that kalam just now. Before the break, we mentioned that during the month of Ramadan, that fasting enables us to control our nafs, to control our ego, to control our evil commanding soul, that part of us that wants to commit sins. And that's what fasting does, it weakens that. But we need to continue with that after the month of Ramadan. And that doesn't mean that we continue to fast for the whole 11 months. If you wish, you can. Other than those days that it is forbidden for you to fast, you continue to fast the whole of the year. But I know a lot of us won't do that. But there are certain ways that we can continue to control that fast. Sheikh Fariduddin Attar Rahmatullah Tara writes that there are three weapons required to control your nafs. One, the dagger of silence. Two, the sword of hunger, and three, the spear of solitude and refraining from gatherings. And he says that if one possesses these three weapons, the nafs amara can be subdued and it can be rectified. So if we wish to remain, to maintain the spirit of Ramadan, the spirit of devotion, the spirit of worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the spirit of peace and tranquility, think about this as well, that not only during the month of Ramadan were you working hard, you struggled, you strived, you had that devotion, you had that connection to the masjid, you had that connection to the Quran and all of these things. But at the same time, didn't you have that peace, that tranquility in yourself? That for once, you know, you've got this tranquility and this peace. You know, without a doubt, this peace and tranquility only comes in following the way of Allah. I remember many years ago we had a Madani Kafla, and there was a person that we'd been trying to convince to come, and he had a garage. And he said, look, on Friday my garage is busy, Saturday my garage is busy, okay, Sunday I have a day off, you know, but that's the one day of the week I have. And he kept on saying no. Then once he kind of said, you know what, forget it, I'll close the garage Friday, Saturday, and I'll come. Yeah, so he was a little bit reluctant, but alhamdulillah he decided to come. Comes to the masjid on Friday, we have the Friday prayers there, we spend the rest of the time in the masjid, we have these study circles, we have all of this. Saturday we're getting up early in the morning and then we have the study circles, we continue it by going out and inviting people to piety, the speeches after Asr, the speeches after Maghrib, the study circles throughout the day. Sunday in the morning and the afternoon we start to get ready, we start to clean up the masjid and make sure that the masjid is spick and span and everything. And then when we're packing our bags, getting ready to go between Asr and Maghrib time, he wasn't. He wasn't packing his bags. His stuff was still lying around, you know, his sleeping bag. I said to him, brother, you know, we need to get going. We're all about to leave in about 15 minutes, so can you start packing up? He said, I'm not going. So what do you mean you're not going? I'm not going. I'm staying here. He can't stay. No, I'm not going. I'm not going. And we thought to ourselves, we all looked at ourselves and thought, this is the person that we struggled. You know, it's as if we twisted his arm to make him come. And he's now, he doesn't want to go. And we said to him, what is it that you didn't want to come? And now you're here, you don't want to go. And he said, you know what? I've never found in my life this peace and tranquility that we've had in this masjid. Now, this masjid wasn't a five-star masjid. You know, it wasn't as if, oh, the masjid's so beautiful that you can look at them. No, it was basically, I remember that it was actually, the masjid was being rebuilt. And so they had these porter cabins. So it wasn't like a five-star quality masjid. And the heating was such that it was a little bit difficult to either maintain the heart, that you were either freezing cold or you were sweating. But he had that peace and tranquility there. And that's the main thing that you, no matter how much money you have in your life, no matter what you achieve in your life, no matter what status, what power, what wealth you have, if you don't have that inner peace, then part of you will always be striving for it. And people think that, you know, if I get more money, I'll have that inner peace. If I get more power, I'll have that inner peace. If I get more status, I'll have that inner peace. And so we're all ultimately in our lives, we're striving for this inner peace, and we all think of other ways of achieving this rather than achieving it in the way of Allah. We think that wealth can give us that peace. You know, everyone is looking for happiness, and people think wealth will make me happy. You know, wealth will make me happy. Though the richest people in the world, if you ask them, they're not happy. People think status, power will make me happy. You look at the presidents, the prime ministers, the kings, are they happy? No. Status, that will make me happy. I'm the most popular person. I have millions of followers on social media. Are they happy? In most cases, no. So what happens is our nafs wants us to run after these things. And ultimately, our nafs is telling us that if you go after that, you will get your peace and tranquility. If you run after that, you'll get your peace and tranquility. But in fact, the fact of the matter is that the only way you will have peace and tranquility in this world is where you follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we want to maintain that spirit of devotion, if we want to maintain that peace and tranquility that we achieve during the month of Ramadan, then we need to control our nafs. And we mentioned three things early on that we need to control. Number one, the Sheikh Fariduddin Attar Rahmatullah says, the dagger of silence, the sword of hunger, and the spear of solitude and refraining from gatherings. If we look at the first one, the dagger of silence. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam elegantly declared, he said, whoever believes in Allah and the last day should speak good or remain silent. Controlling your tongue. Controlling to your tongue from, you know, speaking useless talk. What do we talk, when we're talking to people, how do we talk? Do we, you know, they're saying, think before you speak, yeah? Put your brain into gear before you let the clutch out and you know, your tongue speech. Do we think before we speak? And this tongue of ours is what can cause so much problems in our life. The companion Asud radiallahu ta'ala said that I said to the final Prophet of Allah, advise me. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, can you control your tongue? Then he replied, the companion replied, that if I cannot control my tongue, what shall I control? He said, can you control your hands? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and the companion said, O Messenger of Allah, if I cannot control my hands as well, then what can I control? Then he said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then only say good from your tongue, and your hand should only be raised in goodness, replied the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So controlling our hands and controlling our tongue, a very important aspect. And you see people that make mistakes by saying something to someone, by hurting someone's feelings, but once it's left, it can't come back. Once them words have left your tongue and they've hit, it's like an arrow that once it's hit the destination, the arrow cannot come back and be put in the arrow. It's like it's gone, it's there, and it's hurting that person. And it stays there. You've not killed that person, but you've wounded that person. And that's a permanent wound, a permanent scar that they'll never forget what you said about them. And people remember things, even within family, that he said this to me 20 years ago. He said that to me 30 years ago. He said that to me once. One of these days, I'll get my revenge. Now, I'm not saying revenge is right, but what I'm saying is you created that feeling in that person by speaking to him in that manner, by saying that to that person. So your words have that impact on people. And so controlling our tongue is very, very important, because what you say can have an everlasting effect on people. And so we see that there are people of the past, they would pause. When they were asked a question, they would think. You know, when you look at a wise person, a wise person doesn't speak fast. You know, a wise person, when he's asked a question, he'll pause. He'll wait. He'll think. And he'll make the other people wait as well. And then he'll answer. You know, you see that the people that are wise, that are intellectual, they're not in a slanging match. And the reason why they're not in a slanging match is because they know that when you're in that slanging match, you're saying things without thinking. When the other person is speaking, let them complete their sentence. By them completing their sentence, it gives you time to think. Think about the impact of your words. Think about if I was to say this to someone, then what impact it would have. Even nowadays, when we have social media, we're sending messages to each other. We send these without thinking. It's a way of communication. So it's not just your tongue, it's your way of communicating with people. And social media is even worse because when you send a message to someone, people don't realize the tone, you know, of your conversation. You know, so for example, no, we can't do this. Yeah. How do you distinguish that when it's written? You can't distinguish it. And so again, this communicating via social media is a dangerous thing as well. People take it the wrong way, even though you might have meant it in a different way. So communication is key. Talking to someone is key. The way of controlling your talk is thinking is key. I mentioned before an incident that took place where a person visited someone in the hospital, and there was a patient there, and he was talking like this. And when someone questioned his illness and found out it was a stomach illness and they couldn't understand why he was talking like this, they later on found out that he was scared, he was aware that every single word that he speaks, he will be held accountable for. Do we? Do we even think about it, of what we're going to say? You know, when you go and meet someone, I do anyway, when I go and meet someone, I think about, you know, where's this conversation going to go? What is he going to say? What can I say to him? And you think about the conversation. When you're talking to someone, do you think about this? Do we control our tongue and think about what we're going to say to people? And we all know, you'll all be able to remember that someone said something to you once and that hurt you. Someone said something to you and that hurt you. If you were to say that to someone else, will it not hurt them as well? If you can be hurt by feelings, you know, there's a saying in English, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words cannot hurt me. They do hurt you. They do hurt you. People do feel it. People feel the pain of them words. So again, you need to control your tongue, control your words. And by controlling your tongue, you're controlling your nafs. Controlling yourself against gossiping. Being in that gathering where gossiping is taking place, leave that gathering. In a gathering in which backbiting is taking place, leave that gathering. In a gathering in which, you know, futile talk and, you know, talk is talking about things that we shouldn't really be talking about. Leave that gathering. Why should you be part there? Because what happens is when you're in that gathering, it's as if all the people in that gathering have got a rope attached to you. They've got a rope attached to you and they're trying to drag you into the conversation. And you've been pulled in and pulled in and pulled in. Eventually what happens? You'll join in as well. And you'll be in the same vein of conversation that they are. If they're gossiping about someone, if they're slandering someone, if they're backbiting someone, you will start doing the same when you're in that gathering with them people. So refrain from gathering. Get out of that place and stop talking to them people. Don't talk to them people. That conversation, they'll leave that conversation. Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, narrates, had the final Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the faith of a person is not correct until his heart is correct. And the heart of a person is not correct until his tongue is correct. His tongue is correct. It is stated that there are approximately 18,000 worlds. The dream world is a realm. In this, our spoken words are depicted as snakes. The great Imam of dream interpretations, Imam Ibn Siri, Ramutullah, says that if a person sees a snake coming out of his mouth, then the interpretation of this is that he will say something that will cause harm in his life. Allahu Akbar. Snakes are venomous creatures. Snakes are venomous creatures. Similarly, our tongue is a dangerous organ. Despite it being hemmed, it's got 32 teeth controlling it. It does not come under control. And when it spits venom, it only harms one's life. Rather, on some occasions, it causes severe harm to to one's faith as well. If you're not careful about what you're saying, your words can take you out of the boundaries of Islam as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person draws near to paradise through good deeds until there is only one cubit between him and it. He then says a certain word with his tongue. He then says a certain word with his tongue which causes him to be distant from it. So he can get closer and closer and closer to paradise, but one word can take him away. So if one word can take him away, should we not be controlling what we're saying? Should we not be thinking about what we're saying? Nowadays, you know, I went somewhere yesterday with my family. And there was a person there with a child. And I didn't hear it, but the family members heard him. And they were shocked that every sentence to his own child, he was swearing. Even if they ended up in like a park place, yeah? Even though they were in a place where they were supposed to be there to enjoy themselves, they were swearing. Every sentence that person was swearing. Now, what kind of impact is that going to have on that child? That child is going to grow up and he's going to be swearing as well because that's all he's heard all his life. And not only will he be swearing, he'll be swearing to his father as well. Because he won't be able to distinguish what's right and wrong. If my father can swear at me and swear at everybody, I can swear at everybody as well. So again, how you speak, what you speak. If children see you lying, they'll pick it up. If children see you gossiping, they'll pick it up. If children see you backbiting, they'll pick it up. If children see you slandering, they'll pick it up. All of these things that your tongue causes, people are seeing it. Your children, it reflects on your children. Let alone, we're not even talking about the sins that you committed. The sins that you accumulated as a result of your tongue. What about that? You've not even thought about that yet. And this tongue is one of the main reasons that causes us not to be able to control our nafs. And so this tongue is something that we need to learn to control. We need to control this tongue. Control what we say. Think about what we say. And you know, if you're in an environment of where people speak good, then you will speak good. If you're in an environment where people speak bad, you will speak bad. So if this environment's very important for you, but this is something that we need to learn to control. Think about what you say. And inshallah, you'll be able to control your nafs. Just think about, for a second, I said it earlier on, but I just want to remind you again, intellectual people, wise people, professional speakers, special orators, professional debaters. You know, the people that we look up and think that these are intellectual people. They think before they speak. And if you see them getting into a debate with someone, and if you see them getting into an argument with someone, the wise man is he who just sits there and listens and waits for an opportunity. When the other person, and he's going, okay, and he's just waiting. And people think, you know, he's biding his time, he's waiting. And then when that person stops, everyone's looking to that person because they know that that person will speak with wisdom. This person's been rabbiting away, but that person, when he speaks, everyone looks to him now. They're waiting for him to, they're waiting on every word that he speaks because they know that he will speak with wisdom. Which one are we? Which one are we? Learn to control your tongue. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we'll talk about the other two weapons that we need to have to be able to control our nafs. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyidina Abu Malik Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, As-salatu nurun, salah is light. Commenting on the above hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman has stated, Salah is the light of a Muslim's heart and faith. It will be a means of light for him in his grave and on the day of judgment. On the bridge of Sirat, the mark of prostration will serve as a torch. Allah Almighty Azza wa Jal has said, Nuruhum yas'a bayna aydihim. Their light will be running ahead of them. The greatest and noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, Salah is the pillar of religion. One who establishes it, establishes the religion, and the one who abandons it, demolishes the religion. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah viewers of Madri Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And today is the third day of Eid. And today we're continuing in that rich vein where we're thinking about that Ramadan has come and Ramadan has gone. Have we got our sins forgiven? Only Allah knows. And that is something that we need to continue to do dua. The pious people of the past, they would do dua for 6 months after the Ramadan that, Ya Allah, you know, accept our good deeds during the month of Ramadan. And then for 6 months, they would do the dua, Ya Allah, bless us with the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is now gone. And we can just do dua that Allah accept our deeds and forgive our shortcomings in the month of Ramadan. But the question that we're asking today is now or what? What are we going to do now that the month of Ramadan has gone? And we've got a guest with us, mashallah, from Fazana Medina in Dublin. Yes, in Dublin, in Southern Ireland. And you'll be happy to know, viewers of Malaysia, that we have a center right in the town center of Dublin and Ireland. And alhamdulillah, I believe that is very well packed, inshallah. We've got Shafiq Bhai from Ireland. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah,
alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. How are you, Shafiq Bhai?
Ala kulli hal, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Shafiq Bhai, Eid in Ireland. Yani ke hum Ireland mein to gaye. And Ireland is a bit different than England. How was Eid in Ireland? How was Eid in Fazana Medina in Dublin?
Alhamdulillah, there was a lot of crowd here. And we had two jamaat. And because we have here, alhamdulillah, this is the fact that there is a mixed community here. There are Somalian Islam families and Afghanistan families. और इंडिया हैदराबाद और ये सारे अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह हमारे को फैजाना मदीना है मल्टी कल्चरल आप कह सकते हैं कि माशाल्लाह यहां पे धूमें मचरी होती है कि कोई ये नहीं कह सकता कि ये फला कंट्री वालों की मस्जिद है और ये फला कंट्री वालों का फैजाना मदीना है अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह दावत इस्लामी का यही खास है कि दावत इस्लामी सबको लेकर साथ चल रही होते हम जो ऐसे मामला नहीं होते अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह
I've also been to that फैजाना मदीना without a doubt is a very mixed community there. You know, you have Muslims there from all around the world. And it's nice to see people from different communities. Because what happens in certain masjid, they become known as, oh, this is the Pakistani masjid, this is the Indian masjid, this is the Somalian masjid, this is the Sunni masjid, this is the, you know, Kurdish masjid, or whatever it is. But that masjid there, alhamdulillah, everybody's there. I think it's because, because it's a town center, right? So, alhamdulillah, everybody comes to that masjid as well. So, after Eid, what happened?
अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह हजरत यहाँ पे हम लोग मिले हैं फिर उसके बाद खाने खाने वगैरह की तरकीब भी थी मीठा भी इस्लाम भाइयों को खिलाया गया यहाँ पे बड़े अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह वो जज्बात थे कि एक दो चीजें थी कि जैसा कि ईद के मामले जैसा कि डिफरेंस आ जाते हैं कि वो मतलब कि चांद के हवाले से ये हुआ और वो हुआ उसमें थोड़ा सा था अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह ओवरऑल हमारे इस्लाम भाई बड़े हैप्पी थे पूरा रमजान मुबारक जैसा कि हम वॉलंटियरली यहाँ पे काम कर रहे थे और यहाँ पे आप कह सकते हैं कि मोर देन 350 एवरी डे वी यूज्ड टू गिव द इफ्तार ऑल द रमजान
तो उसके बाद यानी कि ईद नमाज खत्म हो गया घर चले गए फिर यानी कि आप प्रदेश में हैं आप अपने मुल्क में नहीं हैं समझ लो तो उसके बाद क्या क्या करते रहे सारा दिन
हजरत यही होता है जो कि यहाँ पे नॉर्मल है हर एक अपनी लाइफ में फिर यही करता है कि अपने घर वालों को याद करता है कभी कोई साइड भी हो जाता है अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह फिर मतलब कि हमारी जो तरकीब ये थी कि हम लोग दावत इस्लामी के जैसा कि तरीकाकार है अंदाज है अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह कि हम कोशिश करते हैं कि इस्लामी भाइयों को मोहब्बत बांटे हम सब मिलकर बैठे फिर थोड़ा कुछ ना कुछ इतना हम स्टडी सर्कल भी हुआ फजाने मदीना में और इस्लाम भाइयों की जिन्होंने भी पार्टिसिपेट किया था पूरा रमजान जो वो खिदमत करते रहे फजाने मदीना में इस्लाम भाइयों की और ये सारी चीजें हजरत चलता रहा अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह फिर लोगों ने कॉल वगैरह की अपने घर वालों को और कई जो थे वो फिर दोस्तों के हाँ मिलना और जाना एक दूसरे की तरफ ये भी चला और अभी भी लाइन में है हजरत के कई दावतें ऐसी हैं
दो लाइन अप की है अच्छा एक अहम सवाल ये पूछना है वन इम्पोर्टेंट क्वेश्चन दैट आई हैव फॉर यू इज ज़ाहिर है ड्यूरिंग द मंथ ऑफ रमजान अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह मस्जिद के साथ लिंक you know, the connection with the Quran, the connection with the masjid, fasting in the month of Ramadan, ibadat ka shok, all of these things happened during the month of Ramadan. Ab Ramadan khatam. Now what? Ab kya karna? Yani ki aap hamare jo viewers hain, unko kuch nasihat de dene ki ab Ramadan to chala gaya. Lekin what should we do now? Kya hum 11 mahine dobara intezar kare ya kya kare? What should we do now for the rest 11 months?
اچھا حضرت یہ سوچنا پڑے گا اسلام بھائیوں کو کہ یہ مسلمان کوئی بھی ہے صرف اسلامی بھائی نہیں اسلامی بہنوں کو سوچنا ہوگا کہ ہم رمضان المبارک میں کتنی عبادت کرتے تھے کتنا ہم قرآن کریم کی تلاوت میں وقت دیتے ہیں اور ایسا کیا ہو گیا کہ رمضان چلا گیا اور کیا ہم سے یہ احکام اٹھا لیے گئے کیا اب پانچ وقت کی نماز جماعت میں نہیں پڑھنا ہے
اللہ
کیا اب اتنا مصروفیت ہو جانی ہے کہ ہم نے صرف اور صرف فیملیز کو اور اپنے جاب کو ٹائم دینا ہے پہلے بھی حضرت رمضان جو گزرا رمضان میں ہر چیز اب ہم نے مینج کی ہوئی تھی ہم اپنے ٹائم کو ہر ایک جگہ پہ رکھا ہوا تھا کہ میں نے اس ٹائم میں یہ کرنا ہے اس ٹائم میں یہ کرنا ہے پوری لائف ایسے کیوں نہیں گزر سکتی ہے بالکل گزر سکتی ہے حضرت اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ نے دین اسلام انسان کو دیا ہے مسلمانوں کو دیا ہے اس کا مطلب یہ نہیں ہے کہ یہ ہارڈ ہے دین اسلام تو طریقہ کار ہے پوری زندگی کا یہ تھوڑا ہے کہ رمضان شریف میں ہم دین اسلام کو فالو کرنا شروع کر دیں اور بعد میں ہم کہیں کہ اٹس ہارڈ آئی کانٹ فالو دا ٹیچنگ آف اسلام آفٹر دا رمضان ایسا نہیں ہوتا حضرت وہی چیزیں ہیں کہ ہمیں یہ غور کرنا ہے کہ رمضان مبارک میں میرے پاس کیا ٹائم تھا اور میں کیسا کتنا ٹائم دیتا تھا اب اس کے بعد میں نے اس کو کنٹینیو کرنا ہے کنٹینیو کیسے کرنا ہے ساؤتھ اسلامی کے ویکلی اجتماع ہوتے ہیں ویکلی گیدرنگس ہوتی ہیں وہاں پہ اٹینڈنگ ہو اب کے وہ جو بھی ہو تھوڑا بہت بندہ پیچھے ہٹنے کی کوشش کرتا ہے نفس ہمارا یا شیطان جو ہے جب وہ اس پہ ورک آؤٹ کر رہا ہوتا ہے کہ یہ بندے کو اب تھوڑا سا ڈسٹریکٹ کیا جائے جیسا کہ عید والے دن ہی ہو جاتا ہے کتنے لوگ ایسے تھے کہ جو کہ فجر میں ترکیب نہیں تھی ان کی ظہر میں دیکھا تو بالکل صف جو ہے نا پہلے جو فجر میں بھر جاتا تھا عصر میں بھر جاتا تھا مغرب میں بھر جاتا تھا ہمیں جمعہ ہال کھولنا پڑتا تھا کہ ہم نے جمعہ پہ جہاں پہ ہم جمعہ پڑھاتے ہیں وہاں پہ امام صاحب کھڑے ہوتے ہیں تو عید والے دن پھر کیا ہوا حضرت کے وہی بھی ہر سما سنا سنا ہو گیا اور یہی رمضان کی بہارت تھی اور اگر کوئی ریئلائز کرے اور غم رمضان جس کو نصیب ہو جائے
آمین
کہ کاش کے سارا سال کی رمضان ہوتا نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی حدیث پاک سنگا کہ اگر کسی کو معلوم ہو کہ رمضان کیا ہے تو ہر بندہ یہی خواہش کرے کہ کاش کے سارا سال رمضان ہو
اللہ 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 اللہ
تو رمضان تو حضرت رمضان ہے تراویح ہم پڑھتے ہیں قرآن پاک کی تلاوت کرتے ہیں ذکر و اذکار کرتے ہیں اور ایک اور چیز حضرت نبی پاک صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ جس نے رمضان پایا اس میں اپنی مغفرت نہ کروا لی تو وہ بدبخت ہے اس کی ناک خاک اور روز ہو تو ہمیں یہ سوچنا ہے کہ کیا ہماری بخشش ہو چکی کہ کیسے ہم دلیر ہو جاتے ہیں مسلمان کہ اس کے بعد غور ہی نہیں کرتے کوئی وہ فیلنگ ہی نہیں آتی ہے کہ یار رمضان چلا گیا میرا نام کن لوگوں میں لکھا گیا کیا ان لوگوں میں لکھا گیا جن کی بخشش ہو گئی کیا ان لوگوں میں میرا نام لکھا گیا جن کو جہنم سے آزاد کر دیا گیا کیا میرا نام ان لوگوں میں لکھا گیا جن پر رحمت اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ کی برستی رہی غور ہی نہیں کرتے ہیں
اس میں کوئی شک نہیں ہے
تو یہ المیہ ہے یہی المیہ ہے کہ ہم بھول جاتے ہیں ہم جذبات میں وہ تھوڑا سا جذبات میں آ جاتے ہیں اس کے بعد کیا ہوتا ہے قلب ہے نا مختلف ہو
چلو اللہ اللہ give you the opportunity to continue with this rich vein of Ramadan جزاکاللہ شریف بھائی آپ نے ٹائم دیا and امید انشاءاللہ کہ سب آپ نے مدری پھول آپ نے سن لیے آپ بھی دعا میں یاد
ان سے بھی عرض یہی ہے کہ مجھے دعا میں یاد رکھیے گا اور میرے ابو جی جو دنیا سے رخصت ہوئے ان کے اس اعلی ثواب کے لیے ترکیب بنا رہے ہیں
انشاءاللہ جزاکاللہ السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ You know, one thing that Shafiq Bhai said there, he said about that our salah, our Quran, our ibadat is a blessing as well, if only we realize it. When he was saying this, it reminded me of a story that someone told me. That there was a person that someone said to them that if you, you know, don't read your salah, then blessings will be removed from you. And there was a person, on purpose, he started to miss his salah. And after 2 or 3 weeks, he went to someone. And he said to them, look, I'm fine. For 3 weeks, I've not read my salah. Yeah, for 3 weeks, nothing's happened to me. And the person said to him, oh, foolish man, for 3 weeks, you've not had the blessings of salah upon you. For 3 weeks, you've not been able to present yourself in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. For 3 weeks, you've not been able to raise your hands in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Is this not a blessing that's taken away from you? And I think that is the problem, isn't it? That our ibadat, our worship, our salah, our fasting, our reading of the Quran, our zikr, we don't think of it as a blessing. We think of it as a burden. We think of it that it's going to be hard for us to do all this, and we don't realize how lucky we are that we have this blessing. How lucky we have to obtain these rewards. You know, a person in this dunya is looking for opportunities to make money. All the time he's looking for opportunities to make money. And that's how he's become. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the opportunity to 24 hours a day to get rewards. You know, when a person is looking for a job, he sometimes struggles to find a job. I know people that have come to this country, and for weeks and for months, they are struggling to find a job. They're trying to find a permanent job, a part-time job here, a part-time job there, a little bit here, a little bit out of work, in work. In the deen of Islam, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the opportunity to gain the rewards every single day, every single moment. But we pass it up. And we don't realize that this blessing is taken away from us. How unfortunate is that person that the Quran has been taken away from them for 11 months? If you read the Quran in the month of Ramadan and now you cannot read the Quran for whatever reason, ask yourself, why has this blessing been taken away from me? What have I done wrong that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not giving me the ability to read my Quran? What have I done wrong that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not giving me the ability to read? There's something wrong with me and I need to sort myself out. And people, when we start looking at ourselves and asking ourselves that if we are facing difficulties in this life, the problem, the source, the core, the root of the problem is normally that person that you look at every morning in the mirror. I mentioned a story once before that there was a person, he was traveling in Europe and he was thumbing a lift. He was thumbing a lift and after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, he started to rain and he's still there thumbing a lift. After half an hour of standing in the rain for 15 minutes, he got off the road, came down the embankment, found a stream, did wuzu, read 2 rakats nafil, raised his hands, Ya Allah, what have I done wrong? Ya Allah, without a doubt, I have done something wrong. Ya Allah, please forgive me. I don't even know what I've done wrong. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Because he had this mindset that the problem that he was facing, the fact that nobody was offering him a lift, was because of him. He must have done something wrong in the court of Allah. And he said, Ya Allah, please forgive me. Please forgive me. He begged in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive him. He cried in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive him. And yet when he said, when I climbed back up the embankment, got in the road, 2 minutes later, someone stopped and gave me a lift. Do we even look at ourselves? That this blessing of salah, this blessing of Quran, this blessing of zikr, this blessing of fasting has now left us. Why? What have I done wrong? That this has been stolen from me, this has been taken from me, I must have done something wrong. Ya Allah, please give me back the Quran. Ya Allah, please give me the ability to read the salah. You know, the house of Allah, the masjid is the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You can only go there if you're invited. Why am I not invited? Why can I not go to the house? Why can I not go to the masjid? What is wrong with me? There is something wrong with me. Am I so dirty? Am I so impure that I cannot go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla? There is something wrong with me. And we need to ask ourselves what it is and rectify that ourselves. Have that longing inside that, Ya Allah, I want to go back to the masjid. Ya Allah, I want to be able to read the Quran. Ya Allah, I want to be able to do these things. And when you have that want inside you, when you have that thirst inside you, when you have that passion inside you, then inshallah the Quran will come back in your life. Your salah will come back in your life. Your zikr will come back in your life. Your durud-e paak will come back in your life. All of these blessings will come back in your life. But the first problem that we need to overcome, is to understand that this is a blessing and not a burden. People think the month of Ramadan is a burden. People think reading the Salah is a burden. People think reading the Quran is a burden. It is not a burden. It is a blessing for you. And Shafi'i Bai said that these things have been taken away from you. You should be thinking about it. Our brothers should be thinking. Our sisters should be thinking about it. Many of our sisters during the month of Ramadan, they also do a lot of ibadah. They read a lot of Quran, alhamdulillah, probably more than the brothers. If after the month of Ramadan, this has been taken away from you, why? What have you done wrong? What have the brothers done wrong? What have the sisters done? Why has this blessing been taken away from me? Why am I not being able to read the Quran? And we need to ponder over this and think to this. Surely we're doing something wrong. Surely we are doing something wrong if we cannot read the Quran. Surely we are doing something wrong if we cannot attend the masjid. Surely we are doing something wrong that we have the time. You know, people say, I haven't got time. You know, you're traveling. Why can't you do the zikr of Allah? You're traveling. Why can't you recite the Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah? You're sitting at home, browsing on social media. You've not got time for the Quran. You've got time for an hour of that. Why can you not open the Quran? Why? What is wrong? There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. And I need to ask myself, I need to question myself, I need to look at myself and see what the shortcomings are. And I need to force myself. You know, sometimes you have to force yourself to get cured. Force yourself to read the Salah. You might not be getting the peace and tranquility of that Salah, but you're going to read it. You are going to read your Salah no matter what. And that is the first thing that we need to make sure we do after the month of Ramadan, that no matter what happens, whether I get the pleasure of Salah or not, whether I'm enjoying the Salah or not, whether I'm getting the peace and tranquility in my Salah or not, it doesn't matter. I will not give up reading my Salah. Shaitan, you can remove that peace from me. Shaitan, you can remove that tranquility from me. You can remove that pleasure from me, but I will not give up my Salah. And Ya Allah, instill that pleasure in me. Instill that peace in me. Instill that tranquility in me so that I can now enjoy my Salah. So I'm looking forward to the Salah. Salah may be a burden for you now, but no, you're not going to give it up. Because you know it's for your benefit. You know, a person that trains for an event, a boxer, he runs miles and miles and miles to get fit, to get stronger, to be able to, and then he starts to enjoy it. A person that goes to the gym, he says, I start to enjoy walking, I start to enjoy running, I start enjoying exercise, but initially it's hard. In the same way, your salah will be hard, but keep it at it, keep at it, keep it, never give up. You may be at it for weeks, you may be at it for months, you may be at it for years and still not have that peace and tranquility. But don't give up. Don't never give up. Never give up, no matter what. Salah is something that we should never give up. You may say, I'm not getting that peace, I'm not getting that tranquility, I'm not getting that passion, I'm not getting all those things that you're talking about. Never give up. No matter what. And if you want to beat the whispers of shaitan, if you want to beat down shaitan, if you want to control your nafs, then this is the first thing that we must do. Never, ever give up reading our salah. Salah is obligatory upon us. Salah you'll be questioned about. Salah you'll be punished on if you do not perform your salah. So no matter what, I'm not going to give up my salah. We're going to go to the hadith of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Every one of us desires to be close to our Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. One beautiful method that we must adopt in order to attain this proximity, closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, is to offer our salah. Because we are told that this is that thing which defines a believer. This is what distinguishes a believer and a non-believer. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed salah throughout his life. Whenever he faced any concern or worry, he would turn towards salah. And in the Quran we are told as well, Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek help through patience and prayer. But the prayer has so many other benefits as well. We are human beings and we sin frequently. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and grant us tawfiq to repent often. In one hadith, we're told that when you offer salah, your sins are forgiven. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala and is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the companions, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَخْتَسِلُ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسًا. If there was a stream or a river at the door of your house and you performed ghusl in that river, that water, 5 times a day, هَلْ يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. Would there be any dirt left on your body? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in replied, لَا يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. No such filth, no such dirt will be left. because he's constantly bathing in it 5 times a day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ. That is the example of the 5 prayers. Meaning the 5 prayers are exactly like that. The 5 daily prayers are exactly like that. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الْخَطَايَا. By means of the 5 daily prayers, a person's sins are wiped out. Those 5 daily prayers, Allah Ta'ala, by means of you offering them, will wipe out your sins. So this is the benefit of offering salah. Your sins are forgiven. And we are in need of offering our 5 daily salah to obtain such blessings. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who are steadfast and consistent in offering salah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Madri Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And if you just joined us late, we're celebrating the 3rd day of Eid, and today we're asking the question, now what? The month of Ramadan's come. The day of Eid is upon us. We're celebrating these 3 days. Now what? What do we do for these 3 days? What do we do for the rest of the 11 months? And it's something that we need to ponder over. Surely we cannot go back to all our bad ways, start committing all of those sins that we gave up for the month of Ramadan. Are we going to go back to them same ways again? Are we going to be committing them same sins again? Is this how we're going to live our lives? Surely not. Surely not. I mean, before the break, we said that these are blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us. And it's something that we need to ponder over, that has Ramadan changed me? And if Ramadan has come and Ramadan has gone and I've not changed, then again, we need to ask that question. Before we continue with the discussion, I believe we've got a few video messages, inshallah. I think we've got 3 or 4 video messages. Let's go to these video messages, inshallah, and then we'll come back. Let's go to the video messages. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Hassan Reza, and I am from Oldham, and Eid Mubarak to Khalid Bhai and all the Rise and Shine team. And don't forget to pray your namaz 5 times a day, and make sure you meet your grandparents, your parents, and your relatives and friends, and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Eid Mubarak to you guys,
and keep watching Madni Channel.
Wa alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak. May Allah accept our prayers and fast that we have done during Ramadan, and gives us the ability to do good deeds after the month of Ramadan, and keep watching Madni Channel.
Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, I enjoyed the video package, especially the first one. The first one, we should have people like that on Madri Channel. where he said, he give Eid Mubarak, but he said, don't give up your salah. Make sure you visit your grandparents. Make sure you visit your parents. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. And I hope that we can all act upon that. Don't give up your salah. Visit your parents. Visit your grandparents. Give them time as well. Very important. Yeah, it's a day of celebration. MashaAllah, we had the kalam in the middle as well, the kids. And, you know, Eid is a celebration mainly for kids. You know, people say that Eid is for children, but at the same time, Eid is for us as well, for the elders as well, to reflect on Eids gone by, people that are no longer with us, that are no longer able to spend time with us. And, you know, on the day of Eid, I read my Eid prayer. The Eid prayer was at 9 o'clock. I literally finished that, met a few people at the masjid, then ran here to the studio. And the studio was here between 9:30 and 11 o'clock. Thankfully, I read my namaz quite close to here. And then 11 o'clock when I left here, I went to the graveyard. And I thought to myself that by now, you know, the majority of people have been to the graveyard because the Eid Salah is from 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, and people have gone by now. But it was nice to see that the graveyard was packed as well. That there were many, many people in the graveyard. So even on the day of celebration, think about them, to go to the graveyard and, you know, give them a gift. You know, we go, we give, giving Eid to everybody, we're giving money to everybody, gifts to everybody. By going to the graveyard, reciting something there, through the Park, the Surah Fatiha, the Surah Yasin, the whatever we recite there, and passing it on to them as a gift. You know, that is the Eid. And that Eid that we give to them shouldn't be just restricted to Eid as well. We should continue to go to the graveyard to reflect on that and have that connection. Have that connection with our loved ones. And reflect when you go there. That although it's a day of celebration, you know, I remember that the graveyard where we are now is that it's a big portion of land. And the grave started at the back and started coming this way. And I remember that years ago that when I was walking down to the graves from this side, someone stopped me and said, brother, do you realize that where you are walking right now could be your grave in the future? And you know what? That whole area now is full of graves. It's completely full. The graveyard is full now. And any one of them graves could have been mine. And the other part now, they've got an extension to the graveyard, to this, to the right side. They've got another portion of land there. And, you know, them words ring to me that I look at that portion of land and the people are starting to bury them there. And I'm thinking, so that any part of that portion of land could be my grave. It could be my grave. This is a reality. So when we go to the graveyard on the days of Eid, we're going there, we're a day of celebration, but it's nice to see. And I was very happy to see that. It was like almost like a, you know, when you go to the masjid on the day of Eid or the day of Jum'ah, when you're struggling to find parking, that's what it was like in the graveyard. And I was so happy to see that I'm struggling to find parking. It was good. It was nice to see that on the day of Eid, we remember our loved ones, that we go there. And that's something that we need to continue with. And not only that, what was also nice to see is that people were taking the children there as well. So when the elders were going there and they're taking the children there, this again is a message for the children. You're teaching the children that, look, this is what you do on the day of Eid. You know, I know people that no matter what, on the day of Friday, no matter what, they visit their loved ones. They try and visit another, but Friday is a must. Eid is a must. And again, this is the tarbiyah that we need to give to our children, that we visit the graveyard. And that is another thing that we can continue to do after the month of Ramadan. Continue to go to the graveyard on a regular basis, to reflect, to think, to pass on good deeds to them, Isa alayhi salam to them, but also to reflect to the fact that you could be here as well. And if you think about death, think about your final destination, think about where you're going, think about what's going to happen in your future when you enter that dark and lonely. Think what's going to happen when the bridge of Sirat is in front of you. Think about what's going to happen on the day of judgment. Then that thought, that mindset in itself is a form of worship. In itself is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. This in itself is a way of getting, you know, that mindset of Ramadan. Inshallah, we're going to take a little video package now. Inshallah, let's see what it is. I'm not 100% sure what I think I know what it is. Well, let's take it anyway. When we come back, inshallah, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, a respected host, respectable guests, a very, very special Eid Mubarak to each and every single one of you. From Melbourne, Australia, from myself, the ex-host of Rise and Shine, alhamdulillah. And we can't forget, of course, our respected cameraman, our respected Shabir bhai, respected Ziya bhai. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every single one of yourselves, each and every single one of our viewers. May Allah Ta'ala shower His immense rahmah and mercy upon your households. Keep up the good work. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah Shabazz, I'm Madani from the... And two or three things really. Number one is that we took Shabazz Madani today, Shafiq by today. We took Shabazz Madani on the first day of Eid, the Hafiz Rafaqat yesterday, and all of these people that are away from their home. Shafiq Bhai is in Ireland, Hafiz Rafaqat is in Canada. Shabazz Madani was the original host of Rise and Shine for many, many years, and then he has done Hijrat with his family to Australia to open up a Jamaat al-Madina. These are the sacrifices that they have made for the deen. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept all of the sacrifices and all of the things that they have done. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward them for the efforts. But again, it's something, like we said before the break, to reflect on and to think on, that how we're going to change our lives, how we're going to make a betterment for our lives. The month of Ramadan is here. The month of Ramadan has gone. But now what? Now what? And I think we've mentioned a few things so far that we need to have a connection where we need to continue that connection with the al-Salah. Make sure, because this is obligatory upon us. It's not as if, you know, the Quran is something that, yes, you'll be rewarded if you don't read it, but you won't be punished as such if you don't. But Salah is something, it's a must. It's a must. So we must maintain that. The second thing we mentioned as well is controlling the tongue, that controlling that nafs, to be able to control that nafs and controlling our tongue. The third thing is visiting the graveyards. Visiting the graveyards so that we are aware of death. We pass on some gifts to our loved ones, but at the same time, we can reflect on our future destination as well. So when you go to the graveyard here in the UK, a lot of the graves are pre-dug and they'll have them ready. And so the question that we need to ask is that, you know, your grave might be ready, your coffin might be ready. Are you ready? And that is a question that we need to pause all the time as well. The other thing that we need to do is do dua. Do dua in the court of Allah, that Allah accept whatever good deeds we have done. Ya Allah, in the same way that during the month of Ramadan, I've stayed away from sins, Ya Allah, give me the opportunity to stay away from sins after the month of Ramadan as well. I'm going to mention, we mentioned at the beginning, the three weapons that we need to have to control our nafs, and the dagger of silence, the sword of hunger, and the space of solitude and refraining from gatherings. When it comes to fasting, you know that the second weapon for the eradication of the nafs is the sword of hunger. The proof of Islam, Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullah stated that hunger is our capital. The meaning of this is that the blessing, security, pleasure in worship and beneficial knowledge attained by the saints is achieved due to the hunger for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hunger is a treasure from the treasures of Allah that only He bestows upon His favored saints. And so although we all know that fasting in the month of Ramadan is obligatory, is mandatory, is a must, remaining year, the remaining part to perform these nafil fasts, there's great blessings in that as well. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever keeps one nafil fast to please Allah, he will be kept away from the hellfire the distance a fast rider covers in 50 years. In another, it stated that the companion Abu Amama radiallahu anhu said, I requested, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of an action that will lead to me entering paradise. He replied, make fasting incumbent upon yourself because there is no action like it. The narrator states that smoke was never seen come from the house of Abu Hamama radiallahu anhu during the daytime except when guests arrived, i.e. he would not eat during the day due to fasting. So fasting, continue that. You may think, oh, 30 days, you know, so hard to fast. And now he's talking about fasting again. In reality, how hard was it? Was it that hard? Was it really that hard? No, it wasn't. You know, maybe some of us might have felt a bit of hunger, a bit of weakness, a little bit of this. But, you know, when you achieve something in this world, then it comes with a little bit of pain. You know, you are willing to put in an extra shift to work 12 hours, 16 hours. You need to do extra overtime. And the extra bit, you're tired because you've worked 12 hours now. So, you know, you're looking forward to your bed, but you'll do it. you'll do the extra overtime. Why? Because you see the rewards, you'll see the extra money that you're going to make. Yeah, you work on that day. Oh no, Sunday's my day. I don't want to work on Sunday. Why do I have to work on Sunday? It's my day off. I've worked 6 days. I don't want to work on Sunday. But double time, opportunity to make more money. You'll do it. So when it comes to that little bit of hardship in the dunya, to achieve something, we'll do it. But when it comes to that little bit of hardship for Allah, that little bit of hardship for your akhirah, then why do we refrain? And is it that hard? You know, if we fast, and this is what we should do. In the month of Shawwal, which we are in now, the month of Shawwal, there are many blessings in fasting in this particular month as well. And it is stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever kept the fast of Ramadan and followed it with 6 fasts in Shawwal, he exits from sin in such a manner as though his mother had given birth today. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever fasts in Ramadan and follows it with the 6 fasts of Shawwal, it is as if he has fasted his entire life. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, whoever fasts 6 days after Eid al-Fitr has fasted the entire year, because whoever brings one good deed, he will receive 10 deeds. Thus, the fasting of Ramadan is equal to 10 months, and these 6 days are equal to 2 months. So that is the fasting of the entire year. It is better if these fasts are kept separated, but if they are kept consecutively, there is no harm in this as well. So fast at any time. The renowned scholar, Muhammad Khalil Khan Qadri Al-Barkati, Rahmatullah, has stated that there is no harm if somebody keeps these fasts consecutively after Eid al-Fitr. It is better to keep them separate, like 2 in every week, for example. If you kept them one on the day of Eid al-Fitr, one on the day after the Eid al-Fitr, and spread them throughout the month, that this is even more appropriate. So continue with this, not only in Shawwal, but continue. I mentioned the pious deed booklet of Amir al-Sunnah. And in that, Amir al-Sunnah encourages us to fast every Monday and every Thursday. 2 days a week, fast them 2 days. Inshallah, spiritually, physically, inshallah, azawajal, it will benefit you. The other thing that we need to have, time is very, very short. The other thing that we need to maintain after the month of Ramadan is that connection with the Quran. Continue our efforts to understand and read the Quran. Allah azawajal says, the month of Ramadan in which the Quran descended, it is guidance and direction for the people, and it contains clear criterion to judge between right and wrong. The scholars of Islam have said that in this verse, the wisdom behind the obligation of fasting in Ramadan is mentioned, as this is the month in which the Quran was revealed. Allah Azza wa Jalla obligated the fasting of this auspicious month because through the blessings of fasting and enduring hunger and thirst, the intellect is sharpened. Fasting was obligated in the month of the Quran so that the people fast, the ability to understand is accentuated, and through this, comprehending the Quran becomes easier as well. So we need to try and understand the Quran. I think who was it? I'm trying to remember now. Dr. Khurram, yes, Dr. Khurram mentioned yesterday on the program that that he advised someone to listen to the Quran every day, and mashallah, they listened to the whole Quran. You know, and even though they were driving, that some of it is sunk in, and after that they made the intention to build a masjid. Siratul Jinan, there's an app in which we can listen to the tafsir of the Quran. I think he said to me it was 280 days or something like that, that if you were to listen to 1 hour a day, then you'd completely listen to the Quran with the tafsir in something like 9 months of the year, inshallah. Or maybe it was even less. I think he said it in such a way that you could listen to the Quran twice in a year. You know, why don't we do this? You know, whenever we're traveling up and down the country, traveling to and work, listen to the Quran, understand the Quran, attend the study circles of the Quran, try and, you know, get that connection with the Quran. We don't want to be amongst those unfortunate people that the Quran is put on a shelf. The Quran is put on a shelf after the month of Ramadan. It's wrapped in a beautiful cloth. We kiss it and we put it up there. And then it stays there. It stays there for 11 months. And in some households, it even doesn't come off the shelf in the month of Ramadan. In some households, the only time that the book is ever looked at is when someone passes away. Allahu Akbar. The Quran could be crying because it's not being read. You know, we can even do the wakes and checking my social media messages to see what people want to say to me. Do I check the Quran to see what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to say to me? Something that we need to have that connection. And now, alhamdulillah, the translations are coming out, the commentaries have come out. You know, Dawah Islami is translated Kanzul Iman, that is available. The book Criterion that you may be seeing on Madani Channel, that is now available. They've all been translated by the English scholars. These books are now readily available. There's no excuse now. There was a time, well, it's only in Arabic, or it's in only Urdu, it's only in Persian, the translation, I can't read it. Them excuses are gone now. You know, there's a time when knowledge was hard. Now them excuses are gone. You know, books are readily available in the English language. Knowledge is readily available. And that is something that we also need to consider, that whilst we are maintaining our connection with the Quran, maintain our connection with knowledge, improving our knowledge. During the month of Ramadan, you sat behind after Taraweeh where the Imam would maybe have given a daras, or after each namaz they've been daras there. After the month of Ramadan, maintain that connection. So basically the main thing that we need to take for the month of Ramadan is whatever you've achieved in Ramadan, maintain it. I'm not saying to you fast 30 times a day, maintain it. Because you have now proven, as every speaker that's come on so far said to me, Shafiq Bhai said today, that you did it in the month of Ramadan, why can you not do it now? Hafiz al-Fakir said it the other day, you did it in the month of Ramadan, why not now? We can continue to do this. We can continue to read the Quran, we can continue to do our zikr, we can continue to go to the masjid. Don't let the month of Ramadan just fade away as a memory, as something that we used to do. Take the spirit of Ramadan forward. Control your nafs, control your ego, push away the whispers of shaitan, and continue to live your life in such a way, that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with you. Continue to live your life in such a way that the mercy, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal will descend upon you. Continue to live your life in such a way that you die with iman. Continue to live your life in such a way that when you enter that dark and low grave, and then questions are posed to you, that you've lived your life in such a way that you can answer them questions easily. This is what we need to take from Ramadan. This is what we need to take from Ramadan. So basically, what do we take from Ramadan? We take Ramadan. Whatever we've done in Ramadan, continue in that vein. Continue in that vein. Maybe not fasting every day, maybe not doing these things, but make sure that we read our salah, make sure we have that connection with the masjid, make sure we have that connection with the Quran, make sure that we have that connection with Allah, make sure we continue to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, if we continue in this vein, then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, when the angel of death comes to us, inshallah, we'll die with iman and we'll find it easy with the questions of the grave. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine, the 3-day Eid special. Tomorrow we're going to be back to normal. So until the next time, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end.